How about that? We got us a superstar in Los Angeles for the next 12 years.
So we're going to find out your true colors today, Steve Mason, because for years, for years you have said you're always against 10-year deals. The Dodgers have never given one to anybody.
Yep.
And by signing this deal, Mookie Betts has the second largest contract in Major League Baseball history behind Mike Trout.
Yep.
So will you stick to your guns and say this is a bad idea, I never would give anyone a 12-year deal, or will you be like me and say it's the cost of doing business, if they didn't give it to him, somebody else would have, and I'm happy?
Well, you know what? I am going to stick to my guns, John.
No kidding. That's
I think there is dead money at the end of this deal. They bring him all the way to age 40. So he's entering his age 27 season. That brings him to his age 40 season. Here's the question. How much dead money is at the end of the contract? We know that, like, the Pujols contract aged very badly. How many good years do you expect for Mookie Betts?
I would say I feel pretty. How old is he?
27.
I'd say I feel pretty good about six.
Yeah,
half
I'd say
it at least.
I'd say half of it. I'd say half of it's a good number. Now, does that mean that in 6 years we're going to be saying, "Oh man, we are stuck with this Mookie Betts. What an albatross we've got."
No, and here's why. And I think this is a key component of today's deal. The one, and I learned this from Rob Pelinka.
Okay.
There is no such thing as an untradeable contract.
Oh, I thought you were going to quote, like, The Alchemist or Hamilton.
Well, I could later. Yeah, that'd be good. But no, there is no such thing as an untradeable contract. I had people up and down, and a lot of them came on this show and said they will never be able to get out from under that Mozgov contract. The Lewell Ding contract is the worst contract in the league. They'll never be able to get from under it. And Pelinka got out for both of them. In baseball, if you want a more direct comp, the comp is Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes.
He signed a 10-year deal with the Marlins. Everybody said, there is just no way. I may even be longer than 10. I'd have to look it up.
It's $325 million.
I think it was 13 years, $325.
Okay, that sounds
13 years, $325. And everybody said, oh, my God, you'll never get out from under it. And then Project Wolverine came in, and they moved
it out.
Right. You can always get out from under a contract, and that's why I'm not freaking out over the 12 years. And I don't, by the way, disagree with you that there'll be dead money at the end of the deal.
Yeah.
I just think if you look at the deals, if you look at the market price for elite superstar players in baseball, Machado got 10 years, Gerrit Cole, 9 years, Bryce Harper, 13 years. You weren't going to get Mookie Betts for anything less than 9.
Okay,
and
so
this is the cost of keeping him.
So I don't want to bury the lead, which is the Dodgers have landed for a 12-year contract. Whether it's too long or not is up for debate. But one of the elite players in the game. He's won the last 4 Gold Gloves. He won the 2018 Most Valuable Player. He's an elite top-of-the-order guy, an elite defensive guy. He is going to have just a massive year and a massive few years for the Dodgers because he is a spectacular player. So if there's dead, here's my view, John. If they win one World Series,
totally worth it.
Totally worth it. If you win one World Series, I'm like, all right, good Mookie Betts deal. We'll worry about when he's 39, when he turns 39.
Right. And the Dodgers have been very, very reluctant to give these deals to anybody.
Right.
So they actually have positioned themselves when an elite superstar player came along that they could do a deal like this. And now they've done it. They've handled this pretty well. And now that you wait on the Bellinger deal.
Right. The Bellinger deal is after 2023. Corey Seager's after 2022. Bellinger after 2023. Walker Buehler after 2024. Those are likely to be the next 3 big deals that the Dodgers are at least going to have to consider.
I heard from a very reliable source that they were going to try and move Seager this offseason.
Totally. And then they absolutely were.
And then the COVID happened, and it became, you know, less and less likely.
Well, at one point, Corey Seager was going to be a part of a deal for Francisco Lindor.
Right. So I don't know if they'll have to worry about Seager. I think that we'll see how he plays this year. He's looked, according to everybody who's watched these Dodgers,
he's looked great.
He's looked unbelievable.
Yeah, he's looked really, really good.
He may be getting back to his rookie of the year type status. But
yep.
I love this deal for the Dodgers. And I know you hate these long-term deals, but I think you have to realize it's the world we now live in. The players
yep.
dictate terms, and the elite, elite players are getting double-digit term deals, getting 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year deals. And that's what today was.
Now, I still think, and I'll point this out, that I think Mookie had an outlier season in 2018. Listen to his 2018 versus his 2019. 2018, he batted .346, won the batting title. 42 home runs, 80 RBIs, 30 steals, 1078 OPS. Last year, .295, so a full 40 points lower. 29 home runs, a full 12 home runs less. Same number of RBIs. 18 steals, 12 steals fewer than the year before, and a .915 OPS. He did drop down from that 2018 MVP season, which is the season where they were allegedly cheating.
Okay, well, they had Alex Cora. So,
right.
Yeah, maybe.
So there was something going on. Now, that doesn't mean Mookie Betts is a career .301, I think, hitter. And as I said, you know, you're not going to find a better defensive right fielder. The idea of Bellinger in center and Mookie in right, they are going to cover so much ground.
Well,
that is such a great defensive outfield.
A.J. Pollock's a good defensive outfielder.
And A.J. Pollock is. And Jock Peterson is a former center fielder. He can go get it in left field. So they're going to have, and run prevention is a huge part of what Andrew Friedman tries to do. He's a big fan of run, keeping the runs down, having great defensive players on the field, run prevention. So I think this plays into that. And also, you know, I was looking at that Dodger lineup the other night. This was the Arizona. By the way, they beat the Angels last night. And Chris Taylor hit a 3-run homer in that game. Mookie didn't play. But if you put Mookie at the top of the order, and there's no pitcher spot now, and the Dodgers get a DH, that means they get three batters lined up at the bottom of the order, and they're three pretty decent. Like, for example, two nights ago, it was Jock Peterson, Chris Taylor, Will Smith. There's no pitcher spot to gum up the works, which means that you serve up, hopefully, a plate full of runners for Mookie Betts at the top of the order. And look out.
And I love the fact that he hits leadoff.
Yep.
I've argued that I would hit Trout leadoff all the time just because he just wrecks you. And you know, if a guy like that, I mean, he just wrecks you. And I love the fact that they have Betts leading off and then Bellinger coming up. You know, probably Muncy will hit second, but I mean, their lineup is fantastic. And now that they've got him locked up, it ends all the speculation that the only time we're going to see Mookie Betts in a Dodger uniform is during this one COVID-shortened season. Now all
yeah, remember
over.
That nervous time when maybe there wouldn't be a baseball season and we would never see Mookie Betts in a Dodger uniform?
Right, and now he's set up. I mean, the trade looks really good.
The trade is fantastic if you look at it. They gave up. I'm just going off the top of my head. Kenta Maeda was the one piece that they gave up that was significant. They gave up some minor leaguers who may or may not pan out, but they ended up getting Brusdar Graterol out of the deal too. So they come away with Graterol and with Mookie Betts in a deal where the only major leaguer they traded was Kenta Maeda. It's a brilliant deal. And Andrew Friedman says the deal all along was, I'm not trading for Mookie Betts for just one season. I want him long term. This is like the great white whale, and he is Ahab. Is that right?
Yo, Ahab's the guy that goes after Moby Dick.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew Friedman is Ahab, and this is a great white whale, a superstar player who he's got in his prime. And by the way, if you think about it, prime years for baseball players are 28 to 32. Those are the prime years. So they've got Mookie Betts for the next 5 years in his prime. After that, I don't know what it looks like, but ideally we win a World Series before then, and Mookie Betts is a huge part of that.
I love the trade. I love him at the top of the order. Now you just root for him to stay healthy.
Yep.
I mean, because, Mace, how many times do we talk about stop what you're doing, players?
Sure.
Now the Dodgers have two for sure, and if Seager gets hot, I might even stop what I'm doing to watch Seager hit. Or Rios hit, or I mean, but now if I'm walking by a TV, like that's the one thing about Trout and Ohtani are stop what you're doing players.
Sure.
If you walk by a TV in a bar or a restaurant back when we were allowed to go in them, you would stop to say, "Hey, Mike Trout's up. Let's see what he does." I completely feel that way about Betts, don't you?
I absolutely do feel that way about Betts.
You and I both have baseball and basketball on sometimes as wallpaper when we're doing other stuff.
Yep.
I'm not walking out of the room if he's up.
No, Betts, Bellinger, I mean, their lineup is so friggin' loaded. They are so friggin' loaded. The only lineup that gives them a run is the Yankees lineup. That's the lineup that actually gives them a run because the Yankees lineup is crazy, too. Here is Mookie Betts on his contract extension.
It's obviously a special day. You know, it's kind of what I've been working for my whole life, my family. Has been a part of this. You know, my parents have been a part of this. Everybody's been a part of this whole thing, and this is the day that we've been dreaming about, and for it to come true is definitely a blessing. Super happy to be a part of this organization for the rest of my career, and you know, this is just an amazing opportunity that I'll never forget.
And here he is on being part of the Dodgers organization.
I mean, I think I kind of kept my head down and was just playing baseball, and then you know, the opportunity kind of came, and I don't even remember when, but I just know that I wasn't really thinking about it. You know, I was just kind of focusing on playing each and every day and getting myself ready.
So wasn't thinking about the deal, and obviously Andrew Friedman was, and this is perfect time. I mean, if you think about the Dodgers, think about the organization, and granted, it is a pandemic year, and it's probably unlikely that anybody's ever going to be in Dodger Stadium to see a game, if we're being realistic, right? Isn't that realistic?
Yeah.
It's unlikely. But they've done that huge renovation, millions of dollars renovation in center field, which we will ultimately get to enjoy. They've signed Mookie Betts and have put an electrifying player on the field. And it's just, you know what? The Dodgers are just a class organization. This was so smart to make this move right now instead of letting him hit the open market, because who knows what it might have cost. The price may have gone up had he hit the open market. So the Dodgers were smart to jump in and make this deal now when they could.
Yeah, and I think that if they win it, and I'm picking them to win it this year.
Yep, me too.
Then the contract looks even better, because then you paid for a World Series, and then you got him locked up long term, and you've got all your young guys cost controlled. This
yep.
is where it pays off, by the way. I'll admit I'm giving you a hard time because you say you'll never take guys with big contracts. I'm always the guy that wants to trade young players for proven talent.
Yep.
This is where it pays off that Andrew Friedman never did that. Because he's got all these other guys cost-controlled on rookie deals,
yep.
guys like Seager and Bellinger, so he can afford to pay Mookie Betts, and now he can make a decision down the road on Seager, on Bellinger, on Gratterall, if we get lucky with him. The Kenley Jansen and the Justin Turner and the Clayton Kershaw deals all look really reasonable now.
Yeah, they do. They do look reasonable. Hey, let's throw that out there. How many good years do you expect for Mookie Betts?
I say six.
That would be half the deal.
Right, but then, even if he tails off a little bit, he could still be productive. If he's not the best player on your team in 6 years, baseball contracts are still going to go up.
Correct, correct. By the way, you know this deal includes a $65 million signing bonus?
Do you know the opt-outs?
I don't.
Okay, that figures into it. What I mean by that is, it looks like the Dodgers have committed to 12 years for Betts. Chances are, I know Trout has multiple opt-outs. I know Gerrit Cole has opt-outs. I'm sure Betts has some opt-out, meaning that he could walk out and renegotiate the contract at some point. That's another reason why you don't look at it as necessarily an albatross.
Yeah, we don't have the exact terms, except I read here, I think it was Jim Bowden tweeted, it's a $65 million signing bonus.
Good for him.
Sign your name, here is $65 million, which means the contract is extremely front-loaded, which lightens the load at the end of the contract. So we'll wait and see exactly what the structure is, but it sounds like it's heavily, heavily front-loaded. But how many great years do you expect from Mookie Betts as a Dodgers fan? Is it worth 12 years? How does this change your opinion of Andrew Friedman, who has been criticized? There's a regular Andrew Friedman criticism circle that exists.
He's won the division.
That he'll never sign the big one. That he'll never get the big one. That's sort of the thesis that's out there. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. Let you know that Mark Teixeira is coming up at 3:30.
Yeah.
Molly Knight, who has written extensively on the Dodgers, is going to join us at 4:30. And then Kyle Goon from the OC Register, who is in the NBA bubble, will join us at 5 o'clock today, plus all the usual stuff. We'll have headlines for you. We'll have Radio Tinder and, of course, Game of Games. It's a really, really busy show. It is the eve of the start of the season, and the Dodgers have signed one of the most exciting players in all of baseball. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, and tomorrow, by the way, we will have the very first game of the 2020 baseball season for you. It'll be in our time slot tomorrow. It is the Yankees with Gerrit Cole on the mound versus the Nationals with Max Scherzer on the mound. A great, great opening season matchup. Two of the best pitchers in the game. In the meantime, Mookie Betts has signed a long-term deal with the Dodgers, 12 years. 12 years and a $65 million signing bonus. That's crazy. Absolutely. And the question is, how many good years do you expect from Mookie Betts? It takes him all the way to age 40. It's not unlike the Pujols contract, which is still lingering for the Angels. And by the way, Pujols is not a total waste. I mean, he's going to hit you 25 homers. He's going to drive in 80 runs. He's just going to bat .234. So he's still a useful player, but he's a drag on everything that the Angels do.
Yeah, but he hasn't – you're right. He hasn't been as bad as everybody is.
And no, he has not been.
And, you know, let's see what he does now that they have Ohtani, Trout, and Pujols. So if he has one good year and gets them to the postseason, that deal –
Yep. You know, and Rendon.
Could work it out. Let's go to Fernando in Long Beach. Hey, Fernando, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Pleasure
Thanks,
to
man.
Talk to you guys.
Thanks, Fernando.
Hey, so I never thought Friedman would ever really make a deal like this because, you know, you look at guys like Stanton, Harper, Machado, you know, he never was going to make a deal with guys like that. But at the same time, you look at it, you know, Mookie Betts is way better defensively than any of those guys.
Yep.
I mean, he's got the same tools that they do, but he's better. I mean, and also, like, if you look at a guy like, because I know we mentioned, I think you guys mentioned Pujols a second ago for the Angels.
Yep.
He won't age like Pujols. Pujols is a power hitter. Mookie Betts is built differently. Even when he gets older, he's still not going to break down and lose his wheels like Pujols did.
You know what I mean? Maybe. Yeah, he is smaller and more athletic. But Pujols, I mean, was unbelievable. Thanks for the phone call, Fernando. Pujols was unbelievable, Mason, St. Louis. I mean,
yeah.
The difference is the Angels, he would have made the Hall of Fame.
John, the Angels signed Pujols when he was 32. And the Dodgers are signing Mookie when he's 26.
Yeah, that's a huge. Those are six key years.
Yeah, six key years. If you figure a baseball player's peak is 28-32. The Angels got Pujols at 32, and the decline has been pretty steady since then.
Let's go to Jim in Santa Monica. Hey, Jim, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hello. I love the deal. In what we call the dead years, Mookie will be I lost my thought.
Oh, that's okay, man.
That's all right.
But
happens to me all the time.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, Jim.
Don't worry about it.
We do it all the time.
Yeah, thanks for calling, man. That's all right.
Jason in Downey. Hey, Jason, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Boys, always a pleasure to talk to you guys. We live, like you say, John, in a city of stars. LeBron, AD, and now Mookie. Now, I know it's a long contract, but Friedman went for it. If we can get to maybe 5 to 6 all-star appearances for him, I would say it's a good deal. But the minute he wins, they win a chip, best deal they could have made, I'm all for it.
Yeah, if they win one World Series, it's worth all 12 years. It's worth the $65 million signing bonus. If they win one World Championship, it's been 33 years. Just one, and it's a success.
Yeah, boy, and thanks for the phone call, Jason. That's a key point here, Mace, is they're trying to end a drought now that many
I have that right? 33 years.
Well, yeah, 1988. So you do 32.
This 32 is, you know, years.
But... I mean,
math is tricky for me.
A lot of their fans weren't alive the last time they won a World Series.
Oh, yeah.
I had somebody ask me who the guy with Joe Davis is once.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They don't remember Oral Hershiser?
A lot of people, when we go on the road, Mace, people don't know Michael played for the Lakers.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy.
So, I mean, but it's a long time ago. 1988 was a long time ago. If Mookie helps them end that drought, heck yeah, it's a good deal.
Here is Andrew Friedman on how confident he was that he would be able to get a deal done with Mookie Betts.
I knew how strong our commitment was to doing it. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot of trying to create a destination spot where players who are here don't want to leave and players from the outside are longingly looking at our organization and wanting to play here. So... I was hopeful that we'd make a good impression on Mookie with just the communication and the people we have and just the culture that's been created that Doc and the coaches have done such a good job of creating in that clubhouse. You know, that's something I think you can tell right away. And so we were hopeful that, you know, he'd get here, fall in love with it. We'd go out, you know, late March, opening day, win a bunch of games, win the World Series, and you know, we'd end up kind of staying together, although we did have some conversations in spring training. And then obviously, you know, the world kind of changed on us, which put things on hold for a while. But it was front of mind for us. It was something that we really wanted to do. And we're hopeful that, you know, we could find an overlap and make it something that worked for all sides.
There's Andrew Friedman talking about this brand new deal for Mookie Betts. 12 years, 360. Do I have that right? 12 years, 360?
Yeah.
12 years, 360. Whew. That is money, man.
That is good money. Here's TC in L.A. Hey, TC, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? I say this here. The Dodgers made a deal that none of you guys could see coming, including me. He is one of the best players in baseball.
Yep.
I agree with all of that. Okay. And 6 years, six good years, he should be able to do that in his sleep. Okay. All he has to do is maintain what he's been doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I am going to say this. See, you guys tend to put the Dodgers like, oh, well, we're better than everybody.
They are. Okay? They're better than everybody, TC.
We are better than everybody except possibly the Yankees.
Hold on. The Dodgers play in the easiest division in baseball. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, It ain't about what the Dodgers do in the National League West, okay? It's about what the Dodgers do when the money's on the line, a.k.a. Kershaw giving up all the church's money last year in the playoffs, and the Nationals ended up winning that series, a series the Dodgers should have won, okay?
Agreed.
We can't.
Now, in fairness, though, they've won seven straight division titles, and they've gone to two World Series.
You gotta win one.
Look, you're not gonna get a dispute from me on that. You gotta win, but it's not like they're not close. They've been very, very close.
I put it this way, and I'm a Dodger fan, but I think I'm a little more realistic.
Okay.
When Kershaw gave up
those back-to-back home runs.
Back-to-back home runs in the playoffs last year.
Yep, Rendon and Soto.
If you're a real serious Dodger fan, you had to really debate, should we bring Kershaw back?
Nope, not a real debate.
I'm looking at some moves that the Dodgers could have made, just like when they could have got Justin Verlander, and they didn't get him. And then they end up having to face Justin Verlander in the seventh game of the World Series.
Yeah, you could say the Verlander, not making a deal for Verlander, or a waiver deal for Verlander, was a game changer. In fact, our friend Brian Cranston was on the show a lot during that particular period, arguing that we should get Verlander, and of course we didn't. But if you look at Clayton Kershaw realistically, dude was 16-5 with a 3.03 ERA last year and 189 strikeouts in 178 innings with a .043 whip. They put him in a terrible situation. I blame Dave Roberts for what happened in Game 5 of that NLDS.
Yeah, but TC, you're not wrong. I mean, Kershaw is arguably the greatest regular season Dodger pitcher ever. In the regular season, his numbers are Koufax-like, but he's never been able to dominate the postseason, and that's a legitimate complaint. I hear what you're saying.
It is, but they also put him he's referencing those two home runs. And he never should have faced Juan Soto. He never should have faced Juan Soto in that game. You bring in Adam Clark, the lefty, to face Juan Soto, who was the Soto killer throughout the series.
Right, but who do you bring in after that?
Well, I mean, after that, you've got a deep bullpen. You go Pedro Baez or you go whoever is available. But you got to get out of that jam. You got to get out of that jam. And putting Kershaw, I understand. I mean, first of all, you throw him against Rendon. Then you throw him against Soto, it just doesn't make any sense that you would stay with him at that point. But they did not put him in his best in a position to succeed there. But I'm not going to dispute that Clayton Kershaw has had really rough outings in the postseason. But I would point out that one of those bad ones was in 2017 in the World Series in Game 5 at Houston, where they were banging trash cans. That's where he blew up the three-run lead and the four-run lead.
It makes it so hard to evaluate Kershaw because of that, because of the Houston season, because it was such a big blow-up, yet we don't know if he blew up because they were cheating. I mean, I almost throw that year out. But even if you throw that year out, he's had huge postseason struggles. I'm with you, though, Mace. At the end of the day, I would have brought him back. He's the reason you get to the playoffs.
Correct.
In the play, you've got to kind of count on somebody else once you get there. He's shown to kind of meld under the lights. But at the same time, I look back at that Game 7 that you were at.
Yep.
If they would have started him instead of you, Darvish, maybe that game goes a different way.
Yeah, that was
four innings of shutout ball.
Yeah, that was a series where he pitched really.
He would have been on 2 days rest.
Yeah, if you threw out Game 5, which is where I think he got screwed.
That was like the 13-12 game or
whatever that was. That was the 13-12 game. He threw a really good series. He had a really good first start. He pitched really well in Game 7. And I still think without the cheating, he would have won Game 5 because the Dodgers had given him two big leads. All right, we should break because Mark Teixeira is coming up next, ESPN baseball analyst, on the day that the Dodgers signed Mookie Betts to a 12-year, $360 million extension. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. And joining us today with Mookie Betts, officially a Dodger, one of the best baseball analysts out there, ESPN's Mark Teixeira. Mark, thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Exciting day in L.A.
Yes, it is.
It is, Mark. And, you know, Mason will tell you he's not a fan of those long deals, and we've had the Pujols deal out here in Southern California to compare it to. But I think the Dodgers had to do this. I think players, elite players like Betts, are now dictating terms. You look at Harper, you look at Cole, you look at Machado. All these guys are getting double-digit terms. Is that the new reality in baseball? If you're that good, if you're a top 10 player, are you just going to be able to get this kind of a deal?
Yes, and the reason they're doing that is that the teams have actually gotten smart. If you remember back in the early 2000s, you know, this is after the Alex Rodriguez deal for the Rangers, you know, $252 million for 10 years, and then, you know, Manny Ramirez and Vlad Guerrero and some of these other great players, they were signing deals that were really high-dollar deals in the $20 million a year, but the salaries didn't really grow that much in the last few years. I mean, you know, A-Rod, when he signed his deal 20 years ago, was making $25 million a year. Mookie's going to be making $30 million a year. So what teams have done is, because they have that luxury tax, it's that soft cap, they're signing these guys to massive deals. I mean, good for Mookie Betts. What a great deal for him.
Yep.
But he's not getting it in 8 years. He's getting it in 12 or 13 years. And so I think that it's a smart move by the teams, where the players, they're getting their money. It's an amazing contract. But the teams aren't going to be hamstrung by a $40 or $50 million per year salary that will hurt them trying to sign other players to stay under the cap.
Now, Mark, you once signed an 8-year, $180 million contract. Are you like envious? Are you like, oh, damn. Damn, no. I thought I made money.
No, listen, that deal was signed 11 years ago. And again, I think what you look at is, if I was coming out today as a 28-year-old, like Mookie Betts was, I probably would have signed, you know, a 10- or 12-year deal for lower money per season.
Yeah.
Right? So what I'm trying to say here is that these teams are getting smart. And the reason that the Players Association went kicking and screaming during the last 3 months of negotiations is because, while revenues have increased dramatically over the past 10 or 20 years in baseball, the top players per year are still making about the same they have forever. We're just signing guys like Bryce Harper to 13-year contracts and now Mookie Betts to a 12-year extension. So the players are still getting theirs. But the actual increase in annual salary is not going up.
Mark Teixeira is joining us. Mark, we've had a lot of people that we all work with at ESPN on the show over the past few weeks, and a lot of people are skeptical that baseball can pull this off. They were skeptical that they could even start on time. We're starting tomorrow. Looks like they're going to start on time. Where's your confidence level that this whole thing, this 60-game sprint's going to work?
I think it's going to work, guys. And, you know, call me an optimist. I mean, I just see what baseball has done, investing in all of the tests and all of the protocols and making sure players are going to be safe. And you can say the same thing about the NBA and the NFL and all the other leagues. Because the issue is, if the United States shut down again, where everyone had to stay in their houses, we wouldn't be playing baseball. We wouldn't be playing any sports. The fact of the matter is that, you know, we're able to go to the grocery store and go to restaurants and go flying on airplanes. And so if a player looks at his life and says, all right, well, I can choose to opt out. And so if I don't feel comfortable because of my medical condition or a family medical condition, then I can opt out. Great. But if I'm playing, I'm playing. I'm in. And I know that there are risks involved, but there are risks involved in daily life as well. So it's either lock yourself in your house or go to work, and going to work is going to be a lot of fun, because baseball is going to be the first major sport where the rest of the country is going to look at and say, guys, thanks for coming back. We're going to be watching you. We're going to be supporting you. There's a lot of people that I've talked to over the last week that didn't think it was going to happen, and now that it's happened are so excited, and baseball is going to do everything possible to keep playing.
Mark Teixeira is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I'm looking at this Dodgers lineup now. And you've got Cody Bellinger, you've got Mookie Betts, you've got Max Muncy, you've got just bat after bat after bat. How do you compare the Dodgers lineup to the Yankees lineup with Gleyber Torres and Gary Sanchez and Stanton and Aaron Judge? If you have to give an edge to one team or other based on the lineup, who do you give it to?
guys, my Yankee fans are not going to like this, but it's the Dodgers. And the reason is that the Dodgers have less swing and miss guys. I mean, we didn't even talk about Corey Seager. When he's healthy,
yeah,
he's an MVP candidate. I mean, think about this. We could have a 60-game season here where it's a sprint, and Corey Seager can win an MVP. Heck, Justin Turner can win an MVP. Let's forget about Bellinger and Betts and those guys. So you have such depth on this Dodger lineup, and the reason I give them a slight edge over the Yankees is that they put the ball in play just a little bit more. And I believe that the balance of their lineup as well, the Yankees are very right-handed heavy. And you go into a series against, I mean, heck, even the Rays with their, you know, dominant pitching,
yeah,
the Yankees could lose in the playoffs if their bats go cold for a week. And I just think the Dodgers are better positioned for, you know, a 60-game sprint and then the month-long playoff run.
Mark Teixeira is our guest from ESPN. Mark, they're talking about still tweaking the playoff scenario, maybe doing expanded playoffs for this season. Has to be done before first pitch. John Heyman reporting there seems to be some optimism. I'm an NBA guy. I work for the Lakers. We have 16 teams in the playoffs, but that's the way we've always done it. Is 16 too many for baseball?
I like 16 games for I'm sorry, 16 teams for this season. They, by the way, they have 24 hours to get this done. So
right.
Hold your breath. But if they get it done, I do want to make sure that that first series is five games. It cannot be a three-game series.
Well, I mean, Mark, I would love to see it five games too, but it sounds like it's going to be a three-game series, which I think
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't. This is why. In a three-game series, the worst team in baseball can beat the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
Easily. I mean, I remember I played on some bad teams in my early days with the Texas Rangers, and we'd go into, you know, Anaheim when they were good, or we'd go into Oakland when they had Mulder and Hudson and Zito, and we'd win two out of three all the time. It happens. And we stunk. And so if you let the playoffs go to a format where the first round is three games, the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Astros and all these great teams might be gone in the first round.
Yeah.
Then baseball's going to sit back in mid-October and go, uh-oh, we got a bunch of bad teams in late October. This is not good, guys.
Mark Teixeira is our guest. Mark, the other thing I'm thinking about with this 60-game sprint is if you were a manager, is the starting pitching – would you stay traditional here? Would you like put a guys on every five game rotation, or because that would mean your number one starter is only going to get maybe 10 starts? Would you play around? Would you maybe pitch a great pitcher like Clayton Kershaw or Walker Buehler 3 or 4 innings so you could bring them back in 2 or 3 days? Am I getting too kind of professorial there? Am I reaching too far?
No, you're exactly right. Think about this. In the playoffs, that's exactly what we do. In the playoffs, if Kershaw has a great start, but we need him for a couple innings out of the bullpen, we're bringing him back. If you have a dominant pitcher that, you know what, first inning or two just doesn't look right, I might yank him because he doesn't have his best stuff and bring him back 2 or 3 days later to start. So if you can do that for 2 months, it's only an extra month. If you can do it for 1 month in the playoffs, why not do it for two? And I think that teams that don't have 3, 4, 5 quality starters are going to be really interesting to watch, because you're going to have some teams that have good bullpens. I keep talking about the Rays. The Rays just figure out a way to win.
I think the Rays can beat the Yankees. With that big three in their rotation, I think they can beat the Yankees.
No doubt. And I would be very careful if I was a manager or a general manager right now to say, let's see what he's got today. Well, he's going to be fine. No, he's not going to be fine. You only have 2 months to get it right. In a regular season, I would always tell, you know, my teammates and tell, you know, people in the media, hey, guys, come to me in June 1st, and then we'll talk about where we are as a team. That's 2 months into the season, right? Because you got to figure out who your fifth starter is. You got to figure out who your bridge is to the bullpen. You might have a platoon situation at second base and left field, and you just let those things work their way out. And if you lose a couple games here and there in April and May, it's not a big deal because it's an investment into the future. Well, you don't have that luxury this year. You only have those 2 months. So I think you're going to see the panic button pressed a lot more this year, and you're going to have teams like the Rays that are used to having openers, are used to doing some interesting things, the Joe Madden teams. That's why I like seeing the Angels this year. The Joe Madden teams just figure out ways to win games that might not be traditional.
Let me ask you one last thing, Mark. You know, I'm personally afraid of the 60-game sprint as a Dodgers fan, just because I think the randomness increases the fewer games there are. I've said on the show, I think that the playoffs, that the division title could go down to the last weekend. Only in the last seven division titles that the Dodgers have won, only twice were they leading after 60 games. And I understand the pressure will be different this year. Which team in the division do you think may give the Dodgers the most trouble?
I think it's the Diamondbacks. I think they're the chic pick. You know, people talk about the Padres. Realistically, they're a year or two away of really contending because of their pitching. But the Diamondbacks have enough talent up and down the lineup. They have guys that can pick the ball, very good defensive team. And I just feel like they've been a pesky team forever. I mean, we don't nationally, especially a guy that lives on the East Coast, we don't talk about the Diamondbacks. But at the end of every season, we're like, man, there they are again.
Yeah.
There they are knocking on the door, and they've made the playoffs a few times here and there as wild cards the last few years. And so I wouldn't count out those guys in Arizona. And you're right, the Dodgers, they cannot afford to get off to a slow start or have a bad week, because this sprint is going to be really interesting.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Mark, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it anytime you're able to, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Always fun, guys. Enjoy tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, awesome. Mark. There's Mark Teixeira. Well, I'll tell you what, if they go three division winners and five wild cards, Arizona is making the playoffs.
Right. And you're not, I can tell you're not in love with that, are you?
I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I do not like the idea, even in a short season.
It increases the chance of a squirrel team.
Yeah, in you're going to play three-game series. I mean, anybody, a three-game series. And by the way, I was thinking about something.
Are you sure about that, by the way? I'm not. I don't know the answer. Are you sure it's
that,
three games?
That's what was proposed in the past. That was proposed in the original deal that they set up in March. So I'm assuming they're talking about the same expanded playoffs. I'm going on that assumption just because that was what was agreed to in that original March agreement between the MLBPA and MLB. So unless it's changed, it looks like it's going to be three-game series, which means everybody's in. Just let everybody into the playoffs. Why not? Let everybody in. Three-game series. Let's be even more random than having a short 60-game season.
Yeah, well, let's see what they do. They like Mark said, they've got 24 hours to figure it out. We'll know by this time tomorrow. And by the way, we've got baseball on our station all day tomorrow. We're
yes.
not going to and we'll know whether or not they're going to push this through. By the way, did you watch any of the NBA? Did you watch the Clippers at all today?
I had them on. Yeah, I had them on. They look good.
Yeah,
they didn't have they're missing guys.
Yeah, let's get into that coming up. That the NBA is off and running. Lakers have a scrimmage tomorrow. Clippers had one today. And it's now that I see what it is, it's weird. It's weird. Let's talk about it coming up.
Okay, cool. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. In 15 minutes, we'll get you the scoop, all the headlines that we haven't talked about yet. Coming up for you at 4:30, Molly Knight is going to join us. She covers the Dodgers, and we'll talk about the Mookie Betts deal. And then at 5 o'clock, we are going to go inside the bubble with Kyle Goon from the Orange County Register. And speaking of the bubble, today we saw the first scrimmage. The Clippers beat the Orlando Magic 99-90. Lakers have their first scrimmage tomorrow. John, what was your impression of the Clippers?
Really good. They look I've always thought it's going to be Lakers-Clippers. But my first impression is, okay, watching the games are weird because,
yeah.
And we knew it would be. Because there's no fans. They were all in uniform today. I thought the Clippers didn't have Patrick Beverley, who's out of the bubble.
Or Montrezl Harrell, who's out of the bubble.
Right, and they still looked. Paul George looked good. Kawhi looked good. Reggie Jackson looked really good. I don't know how much Reggie Jackson's going to play. Marcus Morris, who's barely been there, looked okay. They all played about 20 minutes, the starters. Guys like Morris and Kawhi and Paul George, but They're what we thought they were, Mace. They're going to be a really tough out. I don't think your dream of having them knocked out before they get to the conference finals is going to happen. I think they're going to make it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. We don't know anything about the Patrick Beverley Montrezl Harrell thing, do we?
No, they're both out for personal reasons, although they both expect to be back. So I think they'll be there when the playoffs start.
But they'll have to go through some quarantine process when they come back, right?
Yeah. Now, if you get tested every day, you're out of the bubble. You only have to quarantine for 4 days. If you don't, you have to quarantine for 10 and possibly up to 14. So it depends
right.
if those guys are getting tested while they're outside the bubble. And I don't know why they're gone. So, you know, they're being very cagey, all teams are, about why guys are there and why they're not there. It was interesting today. Did you see Alex Caruso's media?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so Caruso talked about the fact that he had to make a really difficult decision. He's very close with his sister, who's 2 years older than him, and she moved her wedding. She's apparently been planning on marrying the same guy for a couple of years, and she moved her wedding to the summer, even though they live in Texas, so Alex could attend. They moved to July. And today Caruso talked about the decision he made, which was to not go to the wedding, even though they moved it so he could be part of it. He decided that it was too important. Here's Alex talking about why he decided not to go.
Yeah, you know, everybody's kind of made a sacrifice here and there to be able to make this work. Obviously some are different than others, just because of the emotional support that my family gives me to play basketball and to have success. So meant a lot not to be there. Wish I could have been there. Plenty of documented time and pictures and stuff that happened at the wedding. So I have those on my phone and be able to look at them whenever I need while I'm here.
Yeah,
A tough call. Frank Vogel talked about how it was gut-wrenching because they decided not to ask him to stay. They said, we support you no matter what. Rob Pelinka and Frank Vogel said, it's a really hard decision. We know it's hard. If you want to stay, that's great. If you want to go, that's okay. We will adjust on our end. And I think when Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo went out, it made it almost impossible for Caruso to leave.
Right.
Because it would have left him it just super thin at guard, even though he probably, and I think the Lakers were willing to work with him, he probably could have made arrangements to be out of the bubble for only 2 or 3 days to make it back and be there in time for maybe even the opener against the Clippers next week. He just didn't want to do it.
Right, right. And I mean, I don't blame the guy. I mean, by the way, who goes through with a wedding under these circumstances, right? It was a wedding in Texas with 100 people. That's a big wedding, by the way, isn't it?
Yeah, and he said, Alex said, and you know, hindsight's 20/20 here, that about 75% of the people were wearing masks, but 25% weren't, and it was indoors.
Right.
Which it almost has to be in Texas because it's 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And so he would have exposed himself to, you know, 25 people who weren't wearing masks, and they actually...
Not worth it.
One report I read was, because of that, they probably would have pushed him to quarantine for 10 days, which means he misses the Clipper opener.
Right,
and
right.
He's in a position, Mace, where he can change his career because he...
Sure.
You know, his plus-minus with LeBron is higher than anybody else's on the team. And, you know, they're great together. And, you know, LeBron's going to be out there most of the time, which means Caruso's got a chance to close these games.
Could be in the finishing lineup for sure.
So I felt bad for him that he had to miss it. But, I hope Laker fans appreciate that he made a pretty big sacrifice here.
Yeah, no question. All right, coming up next for you is the scoop, all the stuff that we haven't talked about yet on the show. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.